Welcome to Millennial 714. I'm Andrew.
I'm Laura.
I'm Pamela.
So there was this new report from the CDC over the past week, and I had to laugh and I had to bring it up because after a year of us wiping down everything in sight, being paranoid about everything we were touching, all that, the CDC said this week that the risk of contracting the virus from touching a contaminated surface was less than 1 in 10,000. One airborne virus expert even noted that there's really no evidence that anyone has ever gotten COVID-19 by touching a contaminated surface. It may not have never even happened over the past year.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? We can't have known. People were scared. I'll admit, early on in the pandemic, I was one of those people who was sanitizing my groceries.
Oh, yeah.
I was wiping down every doorknob. Like, when I went in and out of my house, I was, like, Cloroxing it. I would get home from the grocery store, strip, throw my clothes in the wash, and immediately jump in the shower. Like, we took it very seriously at first. And then when we started hearing that surface level transmission, you know, they were starting to discover that it really wasn't much of a thing. And now we know that it's really not a thing at all. But you know what? I regret nothing. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, of course. And we have known for some time that it wasn't primarily transmitted through surfaces. It's primarily through the air, of course. But I also, that just reminded me, people were also not touching their mail for a week. They would let it just sit in the mailbox for a week.
My grandparents were doing that.
Really?
But here's the thing, though. They started off the pandemic not really like following some rules. And so we kind of just prefer that they went balls to the wall when they finally got scared, you know?
Of course.
But I think that they switched over later to, like, my grandpa would just go and, like, spray the mail down with alcohol, and then he'd wait for it to dry and then bring it back inside, which is cute. But it's like, they're super high risk. So I would prefer them to be extra cautious versus, you know, not at all, which is how it was, you know, last March.
And like Laura said, we didn't know. So it's fine. But I think of all the hotels and restaurants over the past year who have started cleaning surfaces in their rooms and restaurants very seriously. I was just in a hotel a few days ago. They had extra alcohol wipes available in the room, which I thought was great. They had this sticker in the doorway that kind of sealed the room. And it said, like, something implying that this room has been sealed. Cleaned and sealed for your protection, you know, sprayed down.
It was like a sanitary seal.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And they're going to do away with all of that over the next few months, definitely over the next year, because it costs them extra to do all this extra cleaning, when really this is a great idea for hotels and restaurants. This is something that they should stick with for eternity. Because, yeah, while we may not get COVID through touching a phone, we might get a cold or a flu or something else through touching these surfaces that haven't been disinfected. So it just bums me out that all this extra cleaning is actually going to be ending in the months ahead.
Yeah, especially when you think about how much fecal matter is just like everywhere. I mean, honestly, like, there's poop everywhere you touch. So think about
that. Why do you have to say that? Now I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of my life. That 5 seconds you just spent saying that sentence out loud is going to stick with me for the rest of my life. Thank you for that, Laura. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm pretty honored that something I said is going to stick with you for the rest of your life, Andrew.
Your power.
I'm going to call you at 3 a.m. and be like, don't forget.
I won't forget. Trust me. But I do have my second vaccination this week on Thursday. I actually got a call from my doctor confirming the appointment as we were getting ready to record the show here. And the receptionist said, are you excited? I'm like, yeah, I'm excited. Now, excuse me, I got to go podcast. I lied to her. I'm not very excited. I am kind of dreading it because of all the symptoms that people have after the second Moderna vaccination. I'm a little paranoid that I'm going to be knocked on my feet for a day. I know it's only a day or two, but still, it's like, if you know what's coming, it's like, oh, this might suck. This is scary.
I'm also getting mine in the next week. Actually, next week when we sit down to record this show, I will have gotten my vaccine a few hours earlier. And I'm pretty fucking excited. I mean, it was like the first round because I got both rounds on Mondays.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine. Like, if I feel like shit, I feel like shit, whatever. Life-saving vaccine, you know, at the end of the day, I really don't care about some potential symptoms. Although I hear very different things. Like, it seems very random. I know some people who have had no side effects whatsoever from any of the vaccines. And I know an equal number of people who have had side effects from all of the vaccines. So it's just kind of like luck of the draw.
Yeah,
I guess.
Pam, do you still not have an appointment?
I don't have an appointment yet, but I feel like they have to be messaging me soon because they're about to open up to everybody in a few days out here in California. Yeah. So I'm expecting to have an appointment soon because I signed up forever ago. So
when you say signed up where?
My turn. Yeah.
Is that a site? I haven't heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, it might be just the California thing. I think that's what it's called. But they opened that up a while ago and you were just supposed to sign up and like fill out some preliminary details and then they'll just email you when it's your turn to go get the vaccination.
I wouldn't even wait for that.
For a minute, I know. For a minute, my like the counties around me and then my county was actually a little bit short on vaccines. But I was reading in the paper that they actually just got a bunch of extra doses and they got a bunch of the Johnson & Johnson doses, which hopefully will speed up the process as well, since that is like just a one and done situation.
Yeah.
I guess they were getting a little bit backed up because they didn't have enough doses for everybody that needed like the second dose, let alone to add more people that needed the first dose.
Oh, so yeah. I wish you the best. I feel like you could be online somewhere at midnight, whatever night that they open up vaccinations to everybody, and you could probably make an appointment. You know, use your Comic-Con and Taylor Swift album listening skills, you know, those midnight releases and all that to really grab a
midnight
ticket.
ET. Yeah. 9 p.m.
Well, good luck.
So what's going on in some small town news, Pam? Speaking of...
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's me. Yeah. Yeah, so speaking of small town stuff, I went to one of my favorite coffee shops the other day, and I got stopped by somebody who wanted me to sign a petition. This coffee shop has a lot of chickens around it. I had no idea what was going on when we moved to this particular city, but I guess the chickens have been there for a while. And now people that are moving in are mad because the chickens have been making too much noise. So there's this big like turf war going on between people that are saying that we should leave the chickens as they are because they were there long before humans got here. And also that we should move the chickens out of the lot for this coffee shop. And that's my WTF story
that is very odd. Where do you fall in this debate?
The first time I drove into this coffee shop parking lot, I was kind of shocked that there were chickens just running around, but they just like roost in the area and, you know, they roam free. But it never really bothered me very much. I could see why the local neighbors that live, you know, a block or two down the road are kind of angry because, you know, roosters crow and that's their main problem with it. But at the same time, like if you buy a house, aren't you going to see what the neighboring surroundings are?
Right. And where does your...
So, like, you knew the chickens were there.
And where does your nudist neighbor fall in this debate?
You know what? I'll peek through the cracks in the fence and ask her if she's out there.
Hey, nice tan, by the way.
So, I grew up in a pretty rural area. So, this kind of thing, I don't think it would even occur to me to notice or be bothered. But I do wonder about the safety of the chickens. Like if there's car traffic running through there, I'd be worried that one of them is going to get hurt. So
there are.
Yeah.
And I feel like people break for the chickens and or roosters. There are both there, which is why they're multiplying and why people are kind of saying that they need to be gotten under control. But I have definitely had to break for wild chickens crossing the road quite a few times trying to get into this coffee shop.
I mean, they could almost do like a catch and release. Like, can you spay and neuter a chicken?
Oh gosh.
Is that doable?
No idea.
I assume it's
so people are saying that what should happen is the SPCA or whatever should come and remove some of the chickens and make sure that they're healthy, because since they're feral, they're just eating whatever they can find there. Although I have seen people bringing chicken feed to this lot. So they're like communal chickens at this point. Yeah. But the idea is these people that want to get rid of them are saying that they should be checked out and then sent to a nice home where somebody can take care of them, because it's getting out of hand. I'll keep you guys posted on Chicken Gate, but it's a sore spot.
Actually, and Laura, speaking of local drama, you haven't brought this up on the main show yet. You haven't offered an update on the gas station. We told people on our live stream. I know people have been on edge about it. I was very intrigued.
I thought you did ask me to give you this update on the show, but I can give it again.
I think it was the Bay Hangout where I asked.
Oh, maybe it was. So basically, this investor wanted to build a gas station right across the street from my condo. Like, it was literally going to be to the point where I would open my bedroom window and, like, see a fucking gas island across the street. And they underestimated the amount of time that my neighbors had to educate themselves about zoning ordinances and, like, easements and stuff that I know nothing about, because I showed up to this community Zoom call. Over 60 of my neighbors turned out for it, and they had speeches prepared and, like, questions about the proposals and the drawings. And they made, like, this guy was there with his lawyer, and the lawyer was, like, beat red. Like,
oh my gosh.
She was not expecting this kind of turnout. And then a couple of days later, I emailed the lawyer to be like, hey, what's the update on this? And she wrote back and was like, he will not be pursuing this at this time. We'll update you if anything comes up.
Laura and her neighbors stopped the gas station from being built. I think that's incredible. I'm a little disappointed. I wanted updates in the months ahead. Like, guys, they put up the Shell sign. Guys, I can hear the pumps. Guys, the convenience store is open.
You wanted my property values to be driven down.
I wanted to hear
drama.
You suffering over a gas station about this.
You wanted to hear me suffer. That's what it is.
I'm sorry. It's just so funny.
No, I mean, I really have to give it to my community's elders, like, specifically, because they were the ones who came with speeches prepared and they had all the facts.
That's so
and
funny.
I was like, oh, shit, like, I don't have to say anything. I'm just here as support. Like, I'm a face on a Zoom call. Like, I'm a number. They can count. But our elders got it.
Wow.
So
respect the elders.
Yeah.
Saved
good job,
butt.
Guys.
Yeah. Well, it's a good ending. It is a good ending. I am happy for you. Not happy for me, but I'm happy for you.
Well, I mean, the guy that wanted to do that, he still owns that property, and I'm sure he's looking for something to do with it. So I'm sure that this won't be the last time he attempts to put something objectionable in that space.
It's time for a word from this week's sponsor. Over the last year, we've all probably become more addicted to online shopping than ever before. Not only has it helped us avoid people in stores, but it's also way more convenient, and it's great seeing reviews of products so you can feel like you're making the right decision. And we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. Come on, put something in this box. And thanks to this week's sponsor, Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. This is my favorite sponsor because they're the only one that puts money back in your pocket. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. It's dead easy to use. You just install it and forget it. Then, when you get to a checkout page, Honey will spring to life and say, hey, I've got some promo codes for you. Use these, save some money. You don't even have to put the promo code in. It will do that for you. I've saved money on so many things since installing Honey a few years ago. More recently, I saved $20 on a new picture frame that I bought, which was such a delightful surprise because frames can be pretty expensive. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings, and we here on the show love saving you some money. Honey is literally free and installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting the podcast. I would never recommend something I don't use, and this is something I use all the time. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/MILL. That's joinhoney.com/MILL. All right, Pam, there's a development about YouTube you wanted to fill us in on.
Yeah, I don't think we talk very much about YouTube as much as we do maybe some of the other social platforms we cover fairly frequently on the show. But I thought this was particularly interesting because for as long as YouTube's been around, there's always been, you know, the thumbs up and the thumbs down button. It's a really easy way to see how viewers are reacting to literally any video you click on. But YouTube for the past couple of weeks has been testing hiding the dislike counts on videos. And I didn't even realize that they were doing this until I clicked on a video I was watching. And I thought, because, you know, those buttons are right at the top, right? Underneath the screen. And I thought, this video has no dislikes. Like, that's crazy that they managed it's not to piss anybody
video.
Off.
Yeah.
It turns out that they're just testing hiding those numbers. So they said in a statement that they actually did this as a result of talking with creators and hearing that the public dislike count can impact their well-being and maybe a motivated targeted campaign.
Yeah.
As well. So they're kind of trying to combat online bullying like a lot of these social media platforms are trying to do now. So they're testing this new design that would allow you, if you're, you know, in this test, to see how many people have liked the video, but not see how many dislikes there are in the video. And it is kind of disconcerting, like I said, because those buttons are still there. And the idea is that you as a viewer can still give a creator feedback by hitting the thumbs down button, but only they will be able to see how many dislikes their video has garnered. I think that this is kind of an interesting move because it's not necessarily anything new. We've talked before about how Instagram is trying to, you know, do away with the exact numbers of likes on posts. But for YouTube, I sort of feel like this is a really great way for people to know if, you know, if content is legitimately bad or if it's misconstruing the truth or if it's spam. And so it's just a really odd move, in my opinion. But I wanted to get your all's take on this as well, because, you know, I think they're thinking about like traditional YouTubers when they're talking about doing stuff like this. But those are not the only people that use the platform to push out, you know, videos and stuff.
But who does the dislike button help? Because I'm just thinking of myself, if I was an online creator primarily on YouTube, I would hate the dislike button because I wouldn't want to know that people were disliking my video. Like, imagine if people could like and dislike each episode of the podcast. Like, if I saw 50 dislikes on a video or a podcast, I would be really disappointed in myself, I guess.
Well, and also that dislike doesn't come with any actionable feedback. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so you disliked a video. Great. Like, I have no idea why you don't like this video or this episode of our podcast. So yeah, I think to Andrew's point, it is an interesting question of like, what purpose does that even serve?
Yeah, right. I think I'm kind of more in the middle here. I specifically think about the like and dislike button whenever I look up like tutorials on YouTube. Sometimes I need to fix some stuff around the house. So like, say I'm trying to patch a wall. It's like, how do you patch a wall? But if the video has a lot of dislikes, then I just assume that that method didn't work. So I'll move on to something that's a little bit more balanced. You know what I mean?
I see.
But I totally see what you guys are saying in terms of like being an actual creator. I could see how this could be discouraging or not actually offer any concrete criticism for how you can improve.
Yeah. I think this is just a very good mental health move by YouTube. I've never thought of that, Pam, actually. Like, I go to YouTube too sometimes for how-to videos, like to patch walls or whatever. But I never think to look there. The way I decide if I'm going to trust a video or not is simply if it has enough views. If does this video have the most views on a particular topic? Well, the video is really popular, so it must be good, I guess. That doesn't necessarily correlate, but that's just how I think.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, and like the mob mentality, I totally get that too. It's my example in the doc this week was Rebecca Black's Friday video. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it's especially fitting because that video is turning 10 this year.
What?
Which is kind of crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But like, that's a really great example of, you know, how it can be a bit of a targeted attack, especially on like younger creators.
Yeah.
That it might really weigh down on. So,
and that was the thing, that whole Rebecca Black situation. And I think the same producer worked with a couple of other young teenage artists. And he basically features himself as the rapper in all of these videos. And I feel like it's pretty unequivocal that that was a really bad song and music video. But she was a kid and people were really, really hard on her about that. I think I remember the bullying getting so bad that she had to like withdraw from school or something along those lines. I don't remember if she ended up going back, but like it seemed like if anybody was going to receive hate for that, it should have been the producer who, mm-hmm. you know, put the face of a 16-year-old child on it.
Right.
Maybe likes and dislikes would actually be more relevant on things like how-tos. So if somebody's claiming to provide a how-to or an instructional guide for something, in that event, the likes and dislikes would probably be more relevant, right? But if it's a music video or if it's somebody's opinion YouTube channel or their makeup YouTube channel or what have you, I don't see how they're quite as helpful.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe they should get rid of like and dislike and change it to helpful or not helpful. Or useful or not useful, something mm-hmm. like that. I mean, I know people could still use that to troll or abuse, but it might help consumers, viewers understand if this video is worth watching or not. And again, I would probably just hide the not helpful because, as Justin's pointing out, the YouTube algorithm will probably still take the dislikes or the not helpfuls into True. Account. They just won't broadcast them. Bottom line for me is I'm glad to see the dislike button go. I don't think that's healthy. And I don't think consumers really need it. Pam's like a little addicted to it, it seems. But I think if she stopped using it to determine whether to watch a video or not, she'd probably be fine with her wall patching videos.
Well, I think there is something to be said for like when you put content out into the world, I think that you have to go into that with a realistic expectation that some people aren't going to like what you have to say. So I think to a degree, we do have to accept sometimes we're going to get trolled. Sometimes people just aren't going to like what we do, and that's okay. But yeah, it's really about striking that balance, and that can be really challenging. Like, I know definitely I've seen stuff about the podcast sometimes where I'm like, well, that's just wrong.
Right.
And I take it a little personally because, you know, it's like my baby. It's our baby. I think there needs to be work done like by we as people, but also by social platforms to bridge the gap a little bit. Like, I don't think that you can function as like a public person in society and expect that nobody's ever going to say anything negative to you.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just looking at some of my videos on my YouTube channel that I uploaded like literally 11 years ago, stuff I made in high school, like unrelated to the podcast and whatever. And like for one video, I made a bicycle safety video for kids in a middle school.
That's sweet.
26 likes, 3 dislikes. What don't you like about my bicycle safety video? I'm trying to help you kids.
But that ratio, though, it's more likes than dislikes.
Would you trust this video, Pam? 26
yeah,
likes? Okay,
I go. Would.
Maybe it's they don't like it because I included Queen's bicycle in the video. See, but I don't know. I don't know what they didn't like.
And you didn't get a copyright strike? They still let that stay
I
up after all these years?
I posted this shit before. I know. I'm still getting away with it somehow. I'll have to replay it. I don't. Maybe they took it out. I don't know. By the way, Pam, I'll cut this out, but there's some breaking Hollywood news. ArcLight and Pacific Theaters won't be reopening in LA.
What?
They're done. That's big news.
Forever?
It sounds like forever. They just issued a statement.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the ArcLight at Hollywood, that's a great movie theater.
That's my favorite movie theater.
So many events
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Wow. Man. End of an era.
RIP to a real one.
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't we see Captain America there together?
Maybe. I don't know. I've seen so many movies there.
No offense. No, I think it was like an early screening. I think that's the only reason why I'm like, I think I went.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely went to screenings there. All right. So I wanted to get everybody's feedback on something. I've had a problem that I recently discovered. So I play some video games online with other people. One game I've been addicted to lately, and I think I recommended it a few months ago, was Rocket League. This is soccer with cars. It's basically the only video game I'm playing right now. But I started thinking about the fact that my username on PlayStation is just Andrew Sims 89. It's my name and my birth year. And I'm realizing now, because I sometimes like to taunt people in these video games, you know, sometimes I really kick their ass, or sometimes they kick my ass, of course, maybe they shouldn't be able to Google my username and find me. So I've been thinking, like, I need a username that reflects me, but will also keep me hidden away. You know, people can't go and Google it and, you know, find me. So I just wanted help from maybe you two or the people who are listening live right now. Like, what should my new online handle be? And I'm not going to use it on the podcast or for anything like that, just for gaming, stuff that isn't work related. And just to briefly review some of my handles over the years: Cheeseman, Instinct 64. And I don't get that one because I was a huge Instinct fan. I don't know, you know, I was such a teenage idiot back then. HP's House, which was short for my fan site, Harry Potter's House. A Sims with a Z 89. And then finally, my name in The Sims Online, Cletus Pudum, which is definitely not offensive to anybody. So I don't want to go with any of these, but I need a new one. Already I'm seeing, you know what, you guys, I mean, come on. Griff said Donut Simmer 69, Simming King 89, Security Nightmare.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Sassy
Gay. Slytherin. Everybody wants 69 to be, yeah, I don't want 89 to be in there. I don't need my birth year in there. Security Nightmare. I like the Simming one.
Ooh, Nut Juicer.
Nut Juicer 89. What do you, you two decide for me. Which of these should I go with? Farm girls have
pressure.
Great calves.
That's
a reference
to a shirt. A lot of pressure because if you end up being disappointed with it 6 months from now, we're never going to hear the end of it. You'll be like, why did you let me?
Okay, here's what I'll promise. You decide now. I'll change it. I won't change it again. I'll change it to this new name. I won't change it again, and I won't complain, okay? So, Laura and Pam, of these that you're seeing, not hallway pooper. No, Sam, I'm not going to be hallway pooper.
Damn, that was my first choice.
No. I like the Simming ones and the donut ones because they're, like, subtle. Like, people won't really get it. Only the listening audience will, which is fun.
What about Never Sever Us? Liza just recommended that.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't hate that one either.
Although, if somebody Googled that, couldn't they find your fan fiction?
Possibly.
They'll just think that he's a really big fan.
Yeah.
You know what? Chick-fil-gay. That's pretty good.
I don't know if I want to announce that I'm a Chick-fil-A fan.
I don't know what this is a reference to, but Security Nightmare sounds pretty badass.
Oh, because yeah, I think Hogwarts is a security nightmare.
Oh, okay. Well,
Juice Springsteen.
What about, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a good
but
one.
But you two decide. It's up to you right now.
I think I like Simming King the most. Simming King, but I would do 69 instead of 89.
Simming King 69. All right.
Yeah.
Pam, do you approve?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right.
They'll just think you're really into The Sims.
All right. What's that phrase? So it is said, shall it is written.
So it is written, shall it will be done, or something like that.
So it is written, so it shall be done.
There you go.
Simming King 69.
Like, hit it.
Simming King 69.
That's it.
I'm changing my name on PlayStation tonight. And who did you say suggested that one?
Ashley.
By Ashley. Great. I can't wait for my brother to notice that my username has been changed to Simming King 69.
Does he know what simming is?
No. He knows what 69ing is, probably.
He's going to run over to Urban Dictionary.
Oh, man.
No.
He's going to be whatever. Wow, you really love simming. You're going to be like, yeah.
Are you surprised, brother? Okay. Well, thank you for the help, everybody. I really appreciate it. Also, just wanted to ask you two, how are you both liking Falcon and the Winter Soldier? We're about halfway through now. I gotta admit, I'm not very into it. If it didn't have Marvel in the title, I don't think anybody would really care about the show. You know, the general theme, the general plot, it feels very Russian to me. I don't think it's funny at all. Like, they try to be funny and it's just not. We all know where it's going. So what's happening right now doesn't seem suspenseful at all to me. We're supposed to hate this one particular character.
That is correct.
And we do. But we also know that's because they're going to be getting rid of him. So it's like, I just, the show seems pointless to me.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with how into Cap stories you are. Like, I would say if you didn't really enjoy the Captain America movies, I could see why this wouldn't be up your alley. I really liked the Captain America movies, so I am enjoying this so far, but this is also an exercise in Marvel really fleshing out, like, their B-list Avengers, basically. Like, all of those Avengers that were kind of on the sidelines and you didn't know too much about them. You know, I think about Wanda and Vision, for example. I didn't give a shit about them before WandaVision, to be perfectly honest. And I feel like they're doing a similar thing here with Sam and Bucky, really trying to flesh those characters out, because obviously this next phase is going to be primarily focused on this new core group of Avengers. And because we don't have, you know, 10 movies to fall back on with their backstory, they have to do some character building now. I'm personally liking it, but I also know that I'm biased because, again, I really enjoyed all the Captain America movies, and I feel like they really set the conflict in this up really well. But I do agree. I think that where it's going is pretty clear, but I feel like in this show, it's more about the journey and not so much about the destination.
Mm-hmm. I also really like the Captain America movies. This is like no surprise. I feel like I've talked about that before on the show. And so I think that something like this is right up my street. And I definitely agree with Laura in that it really is more about kind of peeling back the layers on these characters and also just unraveling the how, not necessarily that it's going to be, you know, the way it is in the end. I also really liked this last week's episode. I think I'm never not looking forward to seeing what's coming next, but especially with the way that they left things this week, it just kind of makes me a little bit more excited to see how they're going to wrap it up, because we only have, what is it, like two more episodes left? It's a really short series.
Yeah, it's only six episodes.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I thought that for sure we had a few more than that. So it's kind of wild to me that there's only two more and then that'll be it and we'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah. Something interesting did happen at the end of the most recent episode, but that's the one, in my opinion, interesting thing, exciting thing that's happened so far.
Part of the commentary of this show is the consequences of, especially in America, but like I guess you could expand that more broadly to the West, the consequences of our culture trying to take something that was like a one-time deal, like an actual honest-to-God phenomenon, and then trying to package and manufacture it and expect the same results. Mm-hmm. So I've enjoyed looking into it from that perspective. And while I can't speak to this on a personal level, like through lived experience or anything, I really do appreciate that they're spending some time exploring what it means to be a Black Avenger through Sam's story and what it means or what it would mean for someone like Sam to consider accepting that mantle, right? And we see that explored through a couple of other characters and their lived experiences as well. And I just really appreciate that they haven't shied away from that.
Yeah.
So trying to speak without spoiling anything.
No, and that's all well and good. But my big issue has, like I said, just been the fact that we know where it's going. And for that reason, it's not very exciting to me. You compare it to The Mandalorian or WandaVision, and you, at least I did not have any clue where it was going unless I was going online and looking for potential spoilers or theories. Whereas with this, it's like, we know the outcome because we're made to hate this particular Captain America.
Yeah. Well, in the comics, too, you're supposed to hate him. He's my understanding, and I know very little compared to some, but he's even worse in the comics. It was very clear from that first shot where you see him. He is deliberately costumed to look as disconcerting as possible, like from a just straight up visual design standpoint. They deliberately made him unlikable because he is supposed to be unlikable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jewel linked us to a really great Twitter thread that maybe we can share with everybody later. I can't remember where she linked it, but.
Oh, yeah. I didn't actually.
It was really, really good analysis of the costume choices.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She linked it wherever I was complaining about Captain and Winter Soldier in our Slack. Pam, there was big royal news over the past week.
Yeah, I love how I'm the royal correspondent on this.
You are.
On this show.
You are.
So the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip, passed away this past Friday. He died at the age of 99. This was pretty big news, but maybe not super surprising to some people, considering that he had been in and out of the hospital for some time. And he's also just really old. He lived a crazy long life. But, you know, still sad for his family and stuff like that. So Buckingham Palace announced this super early in the morning for us. He died peacefully in his sleep at Windsor Castle, and they've already announced the ceremonial royal funeral, which is set to take place this coming Saturday on the 17th. They will be complying with government COVID restrictions. So guests will be limited to 30. And I see that Laura put in a little note here about some of the one guest that we can expect and one that we will not see when this is televised this coming Saturday.
So, of course, when this news hit, you couldn't read an article about it without them linking it to the Oprah interview that Harry and Meghan did. Even some going so far as to say, like, the interview is what killed him.
Yeah, somebody on Fox said that.
Yeah,
which, Jesus, of course, Fox would.
He was 99 with a pre-existing heart condition. Like,
yeah,
he was
old
as fuck,
and out of the
guys.
Hospital so many times.
Yeah. Well, Meghan Markle won't be able to attend the funeral, understandably, due to being very pregnant and her doctor not giving her clearance to travel internationally during a pandemic.
How convenient.
Right. But people are already giving her and Harry shit about this. And, you know, I don't know a ton about how this is being received on the other side of the pond. I know that the frenzy and sort of the symbiotic relationship between the royal family and the press can really amp things up. And the British public might have a different opinion about this than we do. But I'm just wondering if we have any opinions about how Harry will be greeted by the family and the British public following the big Oprah interview. This would be his first time going home after that. So,
well, I think from what we've heard, the family is not thrilled at all with what Harry and Meghan did. So I think it's going to be awkward as fuck. But maybe there's going to be a couple phone calls prior to him flying back where he can kind of smooth things over a little bit instead of, you know, having to have face-to-face conversations while at the funeral or before or after the funeral to smooth things over. I will be watching the funeral as long as it's not too early on Saturday because, you know, it's a big historical event.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see some kind of messy tussle a la Beyonce, Solange, and Jay-Z in the elevator or anything like that. But I'm sure that we'll see some British tabloid speculation about, you know, a frigid welcome or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Because if any of them looks at each other
exactly
in an awkward or like meanish way, they're going to run
100%
those rumors.
And it's very hilarious and also very convenient timing. And this was something that, you know, was discussed in detail in the interview, but then also it's been speculated about the fact that Harry and Meghan are serving as a very convenient distraction from Prince Andrew, you know, being a fucking pedophile. So I'm just like, where are the tabloid stories about a pedophile showing up to the Duke's funeral?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't hear so much about that. So.
No, no. Well, as we've learned, the tabloids and the family seem to work together in a lot of ways. So that's why.
And it's very convenient to blame the black woman. So.
Right. In some other news, back home in the United States, Matt Gaetz has been bribing young girls with cash for sex. I think everybody's heard about this, so we won't get into all of the details right now. In at least one instance, he allegedly got with a minor, and I think that's what set off this investigation by the FBI. Most recently, we learned that this dumbass and his bribing associate would use Venmo to pay these girls and then, even stupider, left those transactions public so people could see these two paying these girls. In fact, a tweet from last year resurfaced in which somebody was pointing out that it seemed like Matt Gaetz was paying a lot of young-looking girls on Venmo. I just cannot believe how stupid some people can be sometimes. Pro tip, if you're doing something sketchy on Venmo, at least make your transactions private. I mean, I think even us here, you know, we make a transaction private from time to time just because we don't need people knowing our business in terms of who we're paying.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pay somebody for pizza and I make that shit private. Like,
me too.
Yeah. Right.
The whole idea of how, like, Venmo, and I know why they do it, it kind of makes it into a social media site, even though it's not. But the whole idea that you can, like, publicly publish what you're paying somebody for on there is kind of odd.
It is odd. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, though, I do like seeing what people are paying each other for. Like, when I go to Venmo, I don't, like, load up the app in the middle of the day and I'm like, let's see what people are paying each other for. But if I'm in Venmo and I'm paying somebody, sometimes I'll kind of flip through the feed a little bit and see what people are paying each other for. And, you know, nobody puts anything serious in the comment section. I think we even spoke on the show, like, sometimes I'll post really dumb shit in the comments of a transaction just because I know there might be a little bit of an audience there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, like, my uncle always, whenever he Venmos us, it's never for what it is. It's always, like, tap dancing lessons or ballet lessons. He thinks it's funny. But, you know, it's never, like, oh, I'm paying you for the groceries you had to go pick up or something mundane.
Yeah.
When I was in grad school, several undergrads got busted because of Venmo. They were selling weed that way and they would pay each other publicly and use these super obvious covers like kale salad. And then they would like use the leaf emoji and stuff.
Oh my God.
And that's how they got caught, was through their Venmo history. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, yeah, in the case of Gaetz and his associate, Joel Greenberg, they were, in the comments, they would write, school, tuition. I'm like, okay, you're paying young girls for their schooling? That's not suspicious at all.
Yeah, that you don't know. Like, these aren't relatives, I'm assuming.
Right. No, I don't think this is familydick.com. I think this is very different situation. That's a little throwback for everybody.
I don't know if you guys saw that weird ass interview he did with Tucker Carlson.
Oh, that was the greatest thing.
A week and a half ago. You could just tell in his denial, it was so over the top.
Yep.
Like, he was acting his way through that very poorly, too. It was very clear that he knows. I mean, it kind of reminded me, it's a very different thing, but it reminds me, if you go back and watch Bill Clinton's initial denials of the Monica Lewinsky affair, like, you can totally tell he's lying. And I felt the same about Matt Gaetz here. Even Tucker Carlson, who's a fucking nut job, ended that interview by being like, that was the weirdest interview I've ever done in my life.
Because he tried to throw Tucker under the bus. He was like, Tucker, we went to dinner with one of these girls. You remember that, Tucker? You remember that? Tucker had his signature dumbfounded face on.
That's Tucker's face the entire time.
I know. It's always his face. But that time, that dumbfounded face was required.
Yeah, he was freaking out on the inside, though. He was like, no, don't take me down with you.
Yeah, don't get me involved.
And you know it's bad when Trump is refusing to meet with you. Gates is somebody who, up until very recently, was a frequent Mar-a-Lago visitor. He went down there all the time to kiss the ring. And now apparently Trump won't see him.
Good.
And it's like, man, when the sexual assault, like sexual abuser in chief is refusing to see you.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, and he tried to ask for this blanket pardon. Sorry, did you mention that? He asked for that.
I didn't.
And Trump didn't give it to him. I mean, you know, anybody who has to ask for a blanket pardon has done something horribly wrong.
Yeah. Hey, Andrew, for my next paycheck, can I just get a blank check, please? And thank you.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, Matt Gaetz is denying everything, but there's a lot of damning evidence, it seems, so far, especially these Venmo transactions.
Yeah.
So we'll see what comes of it. But I think he'll be leaving Washington at some point. Oh, and also Matt Gaetz' associate, Joel Greenberg, is reportedly going to flip. So Gaetz is probably pretty fucked.
Yeah. And you also sort of put together the fact that very recently his office leaked, quote, leaked to the New York Times that he was considering leaving Congress to go to Newsmax, I think it was. And it's like, if you have a steady political career, why would you all of a sudden leave in the middle of your term to go become a news commentator unless something is forcing you out?
Right. It's time for a word from this week's sponsor, Public.com, who make it possible for everyone to trade on the stock market. We love them here because the stock market is made for public trading, so it should be more accessible for everyone, and Public.com set out to do that. Public is a great app that makes it easy to invest in companies that you love. What I really love about Public is that you don't feel alone on the app. You can see what other users are saying about every stock, so you can feel like you're making informed decisions. And that's important because if you're considering going at this yourself, it can be a little scary and less fun when you're not surrounded by other people who are also investing. Public.com lets you buy stocks for any amount of money. You can buy fractional shares, meaning a part of a share, say if you don't want to buy a full share of an expensive stock. For example, you may want to buy into Apple. Let's say you love Apple, you want to invest in them, but you only have a little bit of money to invest. That's no problem. You can buy a piece of Apple. Go to public.com/millennial to follow me and Laura on public.com and see what we're investing in and why. You can start investing today with as little as $1. You'll even get a free slice of a stock when you join. Just go to public.com/millennial to download the public.com app. It's free to trade and there are no account minimums. Start investing in a fun, slick way and start planning for the future. This is how I do it. See public.com/disclosures for more. This is not investment advice.
One more politics story for today. It's something that we touched on last week, but we really wanted to highlight it again this week and recommend that folks keep a watch on this. There is a ton of anti-trans legislative movement happening around the country. Last week, we discussed how Arkansas's governor vetoed House Bill 1570, which prohibits physicians from providing gender-affirming treatment for trans people under the age of 18. Unfortunately, his veto was overturned by the state house, as we predicted on last week's episode. First things first, we'll provide a resource to this. The ACLU has a really easy to read breakdown tracking all of the anti-trans bills and just generally anti-LGBT bills happening across the United States. And just to give people a broad overview, the bills do things like prohibiting health care for transgender youth, forcing single-sex facility restrictions, excluding transgender youth from athletics, placing restrictions on identification documents, and more. To give you a specific example, Texas State Bill 1646 would remove trans kids from their homes if a parent affirms their gender.
What?
So that can be through like gender affirming therapy, hormone therapy. And several of these bills would also potentially out trans kids who are not ready to be outed. You can't always count on parents being ready or supportive when it comes to that news. So it's really not up to the states to force children to be out when they're not ready for that, mm-hmm. When they're still figuring out what this means for them. None of us here are experts in this realm, but it certainly seems that the best thing that we can do is make sure that this affirming care is available and accessible to people, and that we're not denying it to them, and we're not forcing people out, you know, when they're not ready to be completely open with people about this for their own safety and for their own psychological safety too. But also that it denies medical treatment in a number of cases across all of these states. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. It reminds me of so much of the legislation we saw that was targeting gay people 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I did want to say that Dr. Sarah Steelman, who's a friend of the show, she is a licensed family and marriage therapist who she specializes in working with trans youth. She recommends following Chase Strangio on Twitter. He is an ACLU lawyer, and he also has a really good, really detailed thread of all of these bills that you can read. It's a lot of information, so it can be helpful to have resources like this that kind of like boil it down for you so that you're not like reading every single one of these heinous bills. Mm. We also wanted to recommend, if you live in the states of Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Iowa, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, or West Virginia. These are all states that are proposing these kinds of legislation. So call, write, at your reps on social, speak out against this, because it's only going to hurt these children.
Yeah, well said. And speaking of following people, I want to recommend somebody else, Jack Turbin. He's a child psychiatry fellow at Stanford Med. He's doing trans youth mental health research, and he's always tweeting a lot of interesting information at Jack_Turbin. Okay, so yeah. Changing gears now, it's time for some recommendations. Something we haven't spoken about yet, at least not recently, are the stories coming out of the life of Amazon delivery people. And we've been hearing these stories about how people have to literally pee in bottles and then keep them in the back of the van until they're done with their shift for the day. Amazon just puts this unreal pressure on their delivery workers to hit these certain quotas every day. And we're all the reason why this happens. I mean, we all love using Amazon, and we can try as we might to stop using Amazon, but it's so damn convenient. The prices are very good. It's obviously very easy to use, and we get that sweet, sweet, fast shipping. I know this isn't going to solve the problem, but it might be a little helpful to the delivery drivers in your area. I recommend when you go to order something on Amazon, it gives you some shipping options. Hit, I want this on my Amazon day. And instead of that thing that you're ordering being delivered tomorrow or 2 days from now, it'll be delivered on a certain day of the week. And that's your Amazon day. So maybe I order something on Thursday, but my Amazon day is every Wednesday. So instead of your packages coming in 30 different boxes throughout the week, it'll come in fewer boxes that one day a week. And your delivery driver has to make less deliveries to your house, potentially your neighborhood. I realized recently I don't need these fucking butter knives tomorrow. It can wait a few extra days. I don't need these magnets, you know? So I started using Amazon Day, and I feel a little better knowing that the delivery guy has to come to my door a little less often.
Sometimes they give you a little incentive too, like $1 to $2 credit for like an e-purchase or something, so you can use that to rent a movie or to buy, an ebook or something like that. So that's nice too.
Yeah.
I wanted to recommend the AeroPress. I know that Andrew has been talking a bit about camping, like going camping, but I went hiking with a friend last weekend, and they brought an AeroPress. So when we got to the top of our hike, they pulled out this AeroPress, and we were able to have some coffee up there, which was really, really nice. It's really easy to travel with as well. I think they're about $30. It's kind of a cross between like a French press and a shot of espresso. So it's a nice little nifty gadget if you're looking for a smaller coffee maker to take with you, you know, either up on a longer hike or camping, or even if like you're going to start traveling for work again and you don't like the coffee makers in the hotel rooms. This is a good little alternative.
And the most basic recommendation of this week comes from me. I'm going to recommend Feisty Cherry Diet Coke. I just love this stuff. I know it's not good for you, but I like it. It's got a little bit of a cherry flavor. It's like just, it's almost like a little bit spicy is the only way I can think of to describe it. But it's just great. And I'm
addicted to Diet Coke. This is a real Coke product?
Yeah.
Feisty? I haven't heard of these before.
I haven't heard of it either.
Feisty Cherry.
Feisty Cherry.
Yeah. I'm going to Google it.
Me too, because I don't believe
it's
Laura.
It's for real.
Is this some knockoff that's actually like... poison?
No, it's for real Diet Coke. They have a whole bunch
of them. The second search is where to find Spicy Cherry Diet Coke. So maybe it's not available.
It is hard to find. Okay. I will say, like, popular. I don't see it at the store very often.
Is it like a COVID Baja vaccination? Blast rare?
Yeah, it could be.
Hmm. Okay. Yep, that is basic, Laura. Thank you. We can always count on you for the basic recommendation. I'm kidding.
Me, you know.
It's not basic because Pam and I didn't know it.
True. I guess.
It's unique. It's a unique product. That's what I mean. Okay. Not everybody knows it.
It is very unique. They have a whole line of these different Diet Cokes. So they have like a mango Diet Coke, which like, I think that's gross. But they also have like strawberry and guava, I think. So they have a whole bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. It would have been basic if you simply said, I'm recommending Diet Coke. You know, just Diet Coke.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. Diet Coke is just like a staple. It's my accessory. Honestly, if I'm drinking something on the show, I'm either drinking a Diet Coke or a Dunkin' iced coffee. So
Dunkin' iced coffee.
One or the other. Really good. You always know what you're getting from me.
Did you guys notice Dunkin' added a couple new hot coffee blends? The Explorer Batch and then one or two others.
I did see that.
I am into the Explorer Batch. I hope they keep that for a very long time. It's been out for a couple months now. It's a lighter coffee. It doesn't have as much bite as the regular Dunkin' coffee. I'm a big fan.
Somebody told me that they're really into their new chocolate stout cold brew, and I'm intrigued, but I also don't really like sweet things. So I feel like I need to go with somebody that's going to order that so I can have a sip first and then order it if I like it.
Yeah, I've said this before. I'm a simple coffee person. I just want hot coffee and oat milk. But, you know, I don't like these fancy drinks. Like, who's that one singer who has her own drink at Dunkin' now?
That's Charli D'Amelio of TikTok fame.
Yeah, I'm like, really? Like, Dunkin'? Like, interesting. Okay, sure. Whatever. Hey, so what's coming up in After Dark on our Patreon today?
We're going to be talking about a claim that Forbes has made recently, specifically Forbes India, that millennials are shunning credit cards. And we're going to talk about our relationship with credit cards and credit generally, how much we use it, how little we use it, what mistakes we've made with it, and what recommendations we have for you all at home.
That'll be available at patreon.com/millennial. Looking forward to talking about that. It's been a while, I think, since we've spoken about credit cards.
We wanted to plug our latest installment of Breaking News, which is one of our Bay level benefits over at patreon.com/millennial. Andrew, Pam, and I hopped on Friday to discuss Biden signing a number of executive orders aimed at influencing more gun regulation in this country. So it was a really good discussion, very surface level, because again, we haven't seen how these executive orders are going to play out yet. But if you're interested in hearing our take on it, especially on the day the news broke, then head over to patreon.com/millennial to check it out.
Couple other reminders as well. Make sure you're following the show for free on your favorite podcasting app so you can get each new episode automatically. If you just happen to dive into an episode, you're not going to be subscribed for free. You're not going to be following the show. You know, Apple Podcasts is getting rid of the subscribe verbiage. They're going to change it to follow, like Spotify and the others, which I think is smart because when people see the word subscribe, especially these days, they think it means it costs something. So follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also contact us, also for free, by writing directly to millennialshow@gmail.com or using the contact form on millennialshow.com. That's also where we have our confessional. And follow us on social media. We are Millennial Show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks, everybody, for listening to today's episode. I'm Andrew.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Pamela.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.